Happy High Sabbath to you all. For us, the 1st of April, for you, the 31st of March, 2023. Glad to be here and pray your week has been a fruitful one through the grace of God and all that that embodies. We have foot washing and communion. This is a blessed season to meet. We have it four times a year, and I'll be conducting it today or tonight, depending where you are and whoever might be listening to the recording in the future. I've chosen to open up with the song Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And I'll just bring the, there we go. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That, it's a subduing thought, isn't it? Let us begin. And feel free to join me, Liz. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Glory, glory, thus I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen and amen. So good to hear it sung with joy. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, more precious than anything else and what it implies. Especially right now in real time for us today in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary where our sins are not only pardoned, but the investigated judgment to be blotted out when faithful to the end. And indeed, we will keep you in prayer, brother, Joel, with the malaria issue and rain taking place where you are. Well, and welcome to those coming into the room. Glad you could join us. Hugs and love to you all. As you might be aware, it's a happy High Sabbath as we have foot washing and communion. And why don't we begin with a word of prayer as we continue? Would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free to, and thank you very much.
Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the great sacrifice that you have made in sending your Son to become our sacrifice. And thank you, dear Savior, for spilling your blood that we might be able to have cleansing of our sins. And thank you for giving your life that we might have your life of righteousness. Father, we pray that thy presence will be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit and heavenly angels. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we plead for the blessing from on high, especially as we're into the Sabbath hours or entering in for some of us, that this is a very special Sabbath, a high Sabbath day in which we follow the command of our Lord and Savior in having the foot washing ceremony as well as the Lord's Supper. And we thank you, dear Savior, for giving us this ceremony to follow. And we are indeed looking forward to being with you forevermore. We pray that you will help us to keep this first and foremost in our minds. Please, Spirit, work upon us reveal whatever sins we may have registered against our names in the record books of heaven, that we might recognize these and repent of these, that when we come into the service of the Lord's Supper, we may have hearts that are free of sin and focused upon you, your great sacrifice, and the promise of your soon return. We thank you, dear Father, for bringing us safely through another week to such a Sabbath as this. We thank you for being in our midst, for hearing and answering this prayer, and for speaking through our dear brother tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, dear brother. Yes, bro. Well, let us begin. Foot washing and communion. I'll see if I can bring this easily up with the arrow. Right. Okay. So let's start at quote number one for foot washing and communion. And, yeah, amen. Blessed High Sabbath to you too, sister. Glad you could join us. Now, before the Feast of the Passover, and just to make a point here, all four Gospels agree that Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Last Supper on the night preceding the crucifixion, that he lay in the tomb over Sabbath, and that he arose early Sunday morning. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, and of course this would be the same night he would be betrayed into the hands of his enemies, and before the Jewish day, which began at sunset, should pass, Jesus would rest in Joseph's tomb. That he should depart out of this world unto the Father. We know that Jesus had come from God, John chapter 1 verse 1 and 14, had been sent into the world, John chapter 3 verse 17, but was not to remain in this world, John chapter 16, verse 7. After completing his work upon earth, he would return to his Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Jesus is thorough in all that he does. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. John chapter 13, verses 1-7. So we see Jesus doing what he'd ever did in his ministry, service of humility, and then he crowns it with foot washing at the very pinnacle, as we're going to see. The timing was perfect. In point number two, or the section number two, this is a interesting quote from Ministry of Healing. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. She says, we are prone to look to our fellow men for sympathy and uplifting instead of looking to Jesus. In his mercy and faithfulness, God often permits those in whom we place confidence to fail us in order that we may learn the folly of trusting in man and making flesh our arm. Let us trust fully, humbly, unselfishly in God. He knows the sorrows that we feel to the depths of our being, but which we cannot express. When all things seem dark and unexplainable, remember the words of Christ. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. John 13, verse 7. Study the history of Joseph and of Daniel. The Lord did not prevent the plottings of men who sought to do them harm, but he caused all these devices to work for good to his servants, who amidst trial and conflict preserved their faith and loyalty. So long as we are in the world, we shall meet with adverse influences. There will be provocations to test the temper. And it is by meeting these in a right spirit that the Christian graces are developed. If Christ dwells in us, we shall be patient, kind, and forbearing, cheerful amid frets and irritations. Day by day and year by year, we shall conquer self and grow into a noble heroism. Oh, what encouragement that is. This is our allotted task, but it cannot be accomplished without help from Jesus. Resolute decision, unwavering purpose, continual watchfulness, and unceasing prayer. Each one has a personal battle to fight. Not even God can make our characters noble or our lives useful unless we become co-workers with him. Those who decline the struggle lose the strength and joy of victory. We need not keep our own record of trials and difficulties, griefs and sorrows. All these things are written in the books, and heaven will take care of them. While we are counting up the disagreeable things, many things that are pleasant to reflect upon are passing from memory, such as the merciful kindness of God surrounding us every moment, and the love over which angels marvel that God gave his Son to die for us. If as workers for Christ you feel that you have had greater cares and trials than have fallen to the lot of others, remember that for you there is a peace unknown to those who shun these burdens. There is comfort and joy in the service of Christ. Let the world see that life with him is no failure. Amen. And that's from Ministry of Healing, pages 486 and 487. We'll go to point three. This is from quote from Desire of Ages. To get the scenery, timing. We're up to the foot washing and communion in John chapter 13 from the first quote. And so just to get a bit of an understanding of what was leading up to that Thursday night, that night of betrayal, we're told this. He, Jesus, who has so long refused royal honors, now comes to Jerusalem as the promised heir to David's throne. It was on the first day of the week that Christ made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Multitudes who had flocked to see him at Bethany now accompanied him, eager to witness his reception. Many people were on their way to the city to keep the Passover, and these joined the multitude attending Jesus. All nature seemed to rejoice. The trees were clothed with verdure and their blossoms shed a delicate fragrance on the air. A new life and joy animated the people. The hope of the new kingdom was again springing up. And of course, this was a literal kingdom they were hoping for. That's from Desire of Ages, page 569. Another quote within the book. The multitude hailed him as Messiah, their king. Jesus now accepted the homage which he had never before permitted, and the disciples received this as proof that their glad hopes were to be realized by seeing him established on the throne, literal throne, of course. The multitude were convinced that the hour of their emancipation was at hand. In imagination, they saw the Roman armies driven from Jerusalem and Israel once more an independent nation. All were happy and excited. The people vied with one another in paying him homage. They could not display outward pomp and splendor, but they gave him the worship of happy hearts. They were unable to present him with costly gifts, but they spread their outer garments as a carpet in his path, and they also strewed the leafy branches of the olive and the palm in the way. They could lead the triumphal procession with no royal standards, but they cut down the spreading palm boughs, nature's emblem of victory, and waved them aloft with loud acclamations and hosannas. That's from Desire of Ages, page 570. Another quote within the book. Never before in his earthly life had Jesus permitted such a demonstration. He clearly foresaw the result. It would bring him to the cross. But it was his purpose thus publicly to present himself as the Redeemer. He desired to call attention to the sacrifice that was to crown his mission to a fallen world. After such a demonstration as that attending his entry into Jerusalem, all eyes would follow his rapid progress to the final scene, his death. Desire of Ages, page 571. Another quote within the book, never before had the world seen such a triumphal procession. It was not like that of the earth's famous conquerors. No train of mourning captives as trophies of kingly valor made a feature of that scene. But about the Savior were the glorious trophies of his labors of love for sinful man. There were the captives whom he had rescued from Satan's power, praising God for their deliverance. The blind whom he had restored to sight were leading the way. The dumb whose tongues he had loosed shouted with the loudest hosannas. The cripples whom he had healed bounded with joy and were the most active in breaking the palm branches and waving them before the Savior. Widows and orphans were exalting the name of Jesus for his works of mercy to them. The lepers whom he had cleansed spread their untainted garments in his path and hailed him as the King of Glory. Those whom his voice had awakened from the sleep of death were in that throng. Lazarus, whose body had seen corruption in the grave 4 days, but who now rejoiced in the strength of glorious manhood, led the beast on which the Savior rode. What a picture. You notice it's if they couldn't speak before, they were the loudest in giving glory to him. If they couldn't walk before, they were the most active and breaking the palm branches and olive to put in front of him to let him walk on and waving before him. And, you know, that's the same with us, overcoming sin. Glory to God in the highest and peace and goodwill to men. We look at the next quote. Or actually, it's not quite a quote. Number 4, Jesus's foot washing example given after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which is recorded in Matthew 21 verses 1 to 11, Mark 11 verses 1 to 11, Luke 19 verses 29 to 44, and John chapter 12 verses 12 to 19, connected with his whole unselfish life, teaches and preaches unto us by example that in every possible way we are to assist each other in attaining to purity by performing all sorts of good offices to each other, even those of the lowest kind when opportunity serves and the necessity of any calls for them, including foot washing. Quote from Spirit of Prophecy, it's not a quote from Spirit of Prophecy. I was in that mode. This is a quote from our dear brother Bob. I felt moved to put this in here. I think it's a fantastic quote. with this amazing example before us of Jesus and his foot washing and of the betrayer, Judas, with this amazing example before us, who should we be willing to show our love to every one of our fellow brothers and sisters, no matter what they may have done to us, even to those whom we know are betraying us? This is because by our love being expressed to them may bring them to repentance and then bind us closer to one another in love and unity. Now, if our humiliation is to be done by us for those who have harmed us in the greatest degree, being betrayal, then our humiliation is most definitely to be done by us for those who have wronged us in the least degree. Again, that's quoted from lightministries.com. Now, this same love is represented by Jesus through his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And why would that be, Jesus? "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 48. The next quote, number 5, continuing from John 13, Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Knowing and doing, very important with our Lord. John chapter 13, verses 8 to 17. And here's a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. She says, "The act of Christ in washing the feet of his disciples was a sacred one." Now that brings into reality for us doing one another service. It was a sacred one. His motive in so doing was to bring about, through their remembrance of what Christ had done for them, a state of feeling where no exaltation of one above another should find place. This ordinance was to bring brother to an understanding of the feelings of his brother. That's Review and Herald, June 14, 1898, paragraph 3. And you know, we all are aware that there was exaltation seeking going on in the disciples' time. And of course, we're not immune to do that as human beings, or to think ourselves better than another. There's that exaltation issue, temptation. And I think it's wonderful as she finishes that paragraph. "This ordinance was to bring brother," and we'll put sister there. I always feel like we're leaving out the sisters, but it's generic. "To an understanding of the feelings of his brother," you know, to love your neighbor, your brother, as yourself. Well, I think that brings us to the foot washing procedure. There we are with the smiley face. But before we do that, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll have, I think it's like 15 minutes roughly that we have usually, or 10 or 15 minutes. Perhaps I'll just ask at the 10-minute point, and I'll put some music on. Of course, you can always mute your end if you want to have some quiet time. I'll put music on our end, and we can go from there. But before we do foot washing, let's have a word of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of these seasons of refreshing. Conviction of sin is refreshing when we live out that conviction and don't fight your Holy Spirit. And I pray none of us are fighting it, but are being molded by your Holy Spirit. And please, Holy Spirit, help us remember we can persevere with your help to the end of the day, one moment at a time. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing the humility of your life right to the end, even when you knew the disciples totally misunderstood your mission and Judas was in the process of betraying you. It's something we ask that you would help us remember when we're being tempted to have ill thoughts about others, especially brothers and sisters, about anything in our life, and harboring that there and bringing out the bitter fruit that, bitter roots, I should say, that whose fruits we would fain want to meet in the judgment, that we would be able to approach one another, especially at this season, for any wrong that we've done to one another, and set things right as we partake of this ceremony, this institution, this ordinance that is for the blessing of our minds, our hearts, our strength, and our lives. We claim the promise of Deuteronomy 6:4 and Leviticus 19:18, that we would love you with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength in not resisting conviction, and our neighbor, our brother, our sister as ourselves. We so need help. And we don't want to be afraid to acknowledge this, not only before believers, but unbelievers, and help them see by that way we're witnessing to them that they can have the same trustful experience with a friend that's like no other friend, and which is replicated in those who follow him, because as they behold, they're being changed into the same image. Bless us in this season where we come together. Most of us can't be in the same room. We are thankful for this opportunity to do it over the internet, and thankful that it hasn't been interrupted, especially our end as it is cloudy and somewhat rainy. We're grateful that such privileges like this exist, and ask that you would help us to continue to have eye salve on our eyes by you, Holy Spirit, to see opportunities, not to just see them and then pass them by, but to act on them, trusting in you to guide us to do so. And in Jesus we pray and thank. Amen. Amen. Well, brethren and sisters, we'll see you in a little while. And as I say, I think we'll give it, I think it's 15 minutes. I didn't check that, but I always get that mixed up. I'll try at 10. We'll see how we go. And I'll put music on, but feel free to turn it off if you want. Silence your end. I totally understand. And welcome, Sister Karina, and others that have been coming into the room. Blessed High Holy Sabbath.
Jesus, what you say to me, what I'm going to say.
Now the last of these.
The sheaves of the gold from the kingdoms of sin, with sin falls the truth of
Amen. Very skillful singers they are. Very uplifting. How is everyone going? Is anyone not finished the foot washing?
Oh dear.
I'm sorry, there was, I don't know why the sound was not picked up by most. Have to do something next time. I think it worked last time. Don't know what's going on. Yeah, that's a good question. Can you hear me now? Yes, that's great. Wonderful. For those,
service sound is really good.
The music was choppy. Oh dear. Thank you for that feedback. And we will indeed keep Susan in prayer. Yes. Thank you for informing us. A 40-pound package has fallen on Susan's foot, so she is in a lot of pain. We shall keep her in prayer, dear sister, and praise the Lord she could inform us. In fact, why don't we have a word of prayer now before we continue? As it's life for Susan, her pain, so is the foot washing and communion. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for being able to be informed by other brothers and sisters of how they are going. And we are sorry to hear that Sister Susan has had an accident. May she get the treatment she needs to bring about the best results to lessen the time that she's incapacitated, and that she will yet still have a happy Sabbath, a peaceful one, because Jesus, the great physician, Dr. Jesus, is there as an abiding guest and helper and friend, and anything that can be done for Susan will be done as effectively as possible. We are grateful to know about how she's going and why she couldn't make it here, especially with the internet cutting in and out. Grateful that we still have internet access all over the world, considering where we each live, and ask that she will yet have a blessed Sabbath despite her pain, and that her pain would be killed, there would be a way of killing it as far as possible as it is brought out, the pain, as the damage is brought out, bruising, etc. And that she can still smile through the trials, especially. In Jesus we pray and thank. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are continuing at number 6 of going into, well, starting with what Jesus Christ has accomplished according to just one verse. So it's just one verse. There's many that could be provided, but one verse, because it's interesting how it could be, how it's read in the New Testament in its fulfillment. According to the different contexts of the messianic prediction of Psalm chapter 2 verse 7, we're told, "Thou art my son, already existed from eternity. This day have I begotten thee." Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. The Son of God became Son of Man at incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ. And the fulfillment, which we read in the New Testament, says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. And just a side note here on what was just read, that quote. Some refer to Job chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 2 verse 1 and chapter 38 verse 7 as evidence that the scriptures do call angels sons of God. But all these expressions are all in the plural. Nowhere is any angel called a son, singular, of God. And of course, angels are created beings, such as the quote from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Well, continuing on Psalm 2 verse 7, what Jesus accomplished, resurrection fulfillment. We're told in Acts chapter 13 verses 30 to 33, "But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." That's interesting. They had chapter divisions there back then, at least for the Psalms. And that's from Acts 13, 30 to 33. And then the enthronement fulfillment. And of course, we're looking ahead of the Washington Communion here, but what was accomplished by him going through with it? It says in Hebrews chapter 1, am I going too quick for you this? I see your note taking. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, okay? The enthronement fulfillment, "who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, some of it already quoted earlier. And just to make a note here as well, Christ sitting down was a formal seating, an installation into office, an inauguration, a coronation. It was an investiture with authority, an acknowledgement of his right to exercise jurisdiction. It was the beginning, not the end, of his activity as special mediator. It was the placing of God's seal upon his mediatorial work. By thus seating Christ at his own right hand, God placed his approval upon the work Christ had done in the earth and accepted it, addressed him as high priest, and authorized him henceforth to function as mediator after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 17. The seat on the right hand of the Majesty on high was given Christ in view of his purgation of sin. He had succeeded where Adam had failed. He had won for himself the right to speak and act for mankind. Therefore, far from sitting down to rest, he was now beginning his new activity, just like he was always active in his life on earth. As a judge on earth takes his seat on the bench, as the chairman of an assembly takes the chair, and proceedings begin, so Christ took his seat at the right hand of God and thus received official recognition before the assembled multitudes that he served by the appointment and will of God. The priests in the service on earth offered the blood of the victims the people brought to the sanctuary, the blood of slain animals. It was necessary that Christ, as high priest, should have somewhat also to offer, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 3. This somewhat was not the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. This blood he could not offer until it had been shed on Calvary, but as soon as it was shed, he could begin his ministry. This he did immediately after he was installed in office. He was now the high priest and was ready to intercede for man. First in the holy and then most holy place, October 22, 1844, which is the investigative judgment in the heavenly sanctuary. And most of that comes, it's edited slightly, from the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, Volume 7, pages 397 to 398. We go to point number 7. And continue that night with the disciples. And this is from Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." We're told, same account, slightly different wording, Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 24. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." And from the third synoptic, we're told in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 to 20, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" End of quote. So Jesus blesses and gives thanks. That's why I've bolded the thanks and blessing. He gives thanks. If we can go back to witnessing this event, Jesus, in imagination, Jesus blesses and gives thanks for what the elements and symbols represent. And what are they? The unleavened bread is his broken, sinless life body given for us. Nothing to do with himself, but for us. The unfermented wine, pure grape juice, his blood shed from his sinless life for the remission of sins. And so I think you can see, I mean, I can't help but thinking, since I've been reading this a while back, I can't help but think it's like Jesus is saying, "Thank you, Holy Father, for giving me for the life of the world." And that concept's brought out more than once, especially in the book of John, where he brings out, of course, the most well-known quote, John 3:16. He keeps directing to the one who sent him, to the one who sent it, because what it means for us, because who was sent, the sent being Jesus, but who sent him and how Jesus voluntarily came. Well, in the steps to Christ is this wonderful quotation. She says, "But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." John 3, verse 16. "The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, But he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. God suffered with his son in the agony of Gethsemane, of the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you in becoming your substitute and surety by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions. I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice, God can be just, and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. And that's from Steps to Christ, pages 13 and 14. What a powerful book. Point number 8. There were 7 different places where Jesus was wounded for us. In his hands, his feet, his wounded brow, his lacerated back, his riven side, his marred face, and his broken heart, which actually killed him. 7 places denoting the fullness of agony, the piercing pain, the extremity of his suffering on behalf of guilty man. That brings us to have our unleavened bread ready to break and to eat with a smiley face. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. So as we get that ready, we will proceed. First Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 24. Paul tells us that he received from others, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Shall we have a word of prayer? Most gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for and so much we need to learn more about being thankful for. We pray for enlightenment and understanding what is meant by the term all of heaven was given in that one gift, Jesus Christ, that we would understand it better, increase in it, along with the other virtues of the other graces of the Holy Spirit we are promised to have dwelling in Christians as they follow Christ and behold him and become changed from one grace and glory to the next. We thank you for not withholding, Jesus. And at the same time, can only imagine how hard it must have been to give him up, especially if he might fail too, not just alone all the sufferings he would go through. And for you, Jesus, to willingly, voluntarily happily for the, as we were just reading earlier, you're loved more by the Father because what you are so willing and have done for us. And we see in this particular night of the communion and foot washing that you instituted, it was like you were thanking and blessing what it represented to the Father right before the disciples. I can't help but think they must have thought later on just how much your thanking and blessing was going, thanking that what it represents and what you actually did is what you're thanking because of the results that will flow to those who believe. I pray that we would each be among those who believe and in faith are partaking of thy bread symbolic, thy body symbolically through unleavened bread to be part of the life that your words bring when they are acted on through the Holy Spirit's power. And Holy Spirit, thank you for making this and every other Christian doctrine, belief, and word of God in the Bible to the law and to the testimony, the testimonies of Jesus Christ that speak to us of the joy that can be experienced by those who love it, who trust and obey, who don't do it grudgingly. It hurts to suffer self, to die, but you give joy and power to do so, to overcome and experience what we otherwise would never do if we didn't decide to follow Jesus and overcome the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Please bless further as we commune with one another and take part of the symbol of our Lord Jesus as we meditate on what he has done for us and what it is going to result for ourselves and has for those who've gone before us faithfully in that great day on the resurrection morning of the just and those who are alive when he comes for his own. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So let's partake and break the bread and consume with one another as we meditate on what it means. Amen and amen. Is anyone not finished? Okay, well, we'll go to the next part of the service. If you could have your unfermented grape juice ready to drink, we'll go to the next quotation. Number 10, quoting the rest of the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Excuse me. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for showing and pouring out your love to us each, like there's no other person on the planet or has ever lived on the planet, just all attention to each and every one of us, with such careful attention to our needs and our eternal welfare. Thank you for not giving up on this race of rebels and on us as individual rebels, and wooing us in various ways using all sorts of things that we can only perhaps feebly see how you've done this. Thank you for letting us grow to know and understand where you've been working in our life to help us come up higher or to just start being a Christian, which is everything. And thank you for being so willing to cleanse us from sin at the cost of everything to you, that we might be saved from eternal death. Your law of love can't be changed, so you sent the very express image of the one that expresses the very image of you, Jesus Christ, to show us that love fulfilled in a human life where Adam fell, he won. And Jesus, as we're just partaking of unleavened bread that symbolizes you, as we've just eaten it and we hear the crunching with our teeth, and that we think that that represents all the pain that you went through, something of it, as we think about the cruel treatment you received at men's hands. And now that we're partaking of the unfermented wine, grape juice, the blood that would come out because of those blows, all because of us, and you didn't resist it one bit. Ever going onward to do the Father's will, that we would have that resolution ourselves to take up our cross, self-denial, the sin that so easily besets, and get our focus off ourselves to think that we've got an excuse for sinning, which is no help to us at all in the divine life. But cling to thee, see you as one invisible, just as Moses did, and have that saving relationship we all may have without lacking any helps that you can provide to bring us to perfection in your robes and not our own. Thank you for it being so full and free, except it does cost us to yield our sins to you. And I pray we would see it as a joy rather than a hindrance. And our message to the world and giving the everlasting gospel will have more power with them because they see that someone else is guiding us, but this someone else is outside of this world because he works on principles that are unlike this fallen world. And yet the fallen world can understand them as good, holy, and just. And Holy Spirit, thank you for making it and convicting us of the realities of the love that works by faith and purifies the soul. And that it's infectious nature of beholding Jesus, beholding those who beheld Jesus, literally, spiritually, even all the way from the beginning of the Old Testament narrative, the true sacred history, all the way to the end of the book, and of course beyond, especially in the gift of the Spirit of prophecy revealed in the writings of Ellen G. White. We ask that you would help us grasp that you're not far from any one of us if we'll just happily feel after you and realize that it's love that bought our souls. Let us be that bought possession that cost everything to the Godhead. In this we seek your blessing. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's partake of the what represents our Lord's spilt blood in the unfermented grape juice. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I have one more quote to share with you in closing the sermon. And it's a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. Surprise, surprise. It's something to consider. And this comes from Education, page 263 and 264. And she says, those who think of the result of hastening or hindering the gospel think of it in relation to themselves and to the world. That's what got my attention in putting this quote in the room. Those who think of the result of hastening or hindering the gospel think of it in relation to themselves and to the world. So you think of its relation to God. So you give thought to the suffering that sin has caused our Creator. All heaven suffered in Christ's agony, but that suffering did not begin or end with his manifestation in humanity. The cross is a revelation to our dull senses of the pain that, from its very inception, sin has brought to the heart of God. Every departure from the right, Every deed of cruelty, every failure of humanity to reach his ideal brings grief to him. When there came upon Israel the calamities that were the sure result of separation from God, subjugation by their enemies, cruelty and death, it is said that his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Judges chapter 10, verse 16, and Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. His spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 22, the heart of the infinite Father is pained in sympathy. Our world is a vast laser house, a scene of misery that we dare not allow even our thoughts to dwell upon. Did we realize it as it is, the burden would be too terrible. Yet God feels it all. In order to destroy sin and its results, he gave his best beloved, and he has put it in our power through cooperation with him to bring this scene of misery to an end. What a privilege, right? He's put it in our power through cooperation with him, Jesus, to bring this scene of misery to an end. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. It's Christ's command to his followers. Not that all are called to be ministers or missionaries in the ordinary sense of the term, but all may be workers with him in giving the glad tidings to their fellow men, to all, great or small, learned or ignorant, old or young, the command is given. And the disciples, on that night, that fateful night on our behalf, went and sung hymns or psalms, and we have a well-known song I think you're all familiar with, Lift Up the Trumpet, and I found 6 verses to it, so more of us can sing it and join in. I'll put it up on the screen. Lift Up the Trumpet. And shall we have a trumpet noise? Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again, coming, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Echo it, hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Amen.
Amen.
What?
Sounded all ocean in each mighty wave, Jesus is coming again. Break on the sands of the shores that he made, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, my Lord is coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Heavings of earth tell the vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds, they anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again.
Nations are angry, but this we do know, Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again.
Glorious angel is lighting the world, Jesus is coming again. God's Sabbath rest is the banner unfurled, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, my Lord is coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Oh, amen. It is all true. Amen indeed. And as we continue following the truth, it will shine brighter and brighter unto that perfect day, the resurrection morn, where there'll be no more suffering, sorrow, and death for the saved, or sin, for that matter. Well, that brings us, I realize I've gone over time, and thank you for staying. I'm grateful. Thank you very much. And especially those where it's even later than usual. Thank you for making it a joy to present and to join with you in. Is there anything anyone wants to share? Any testimonies, any praises, prayer requests, songs, questions, answers, comments, insights? Did I cover everything?
I want to say something.
You want to say something? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm not biased, but I have to say today's sermon meant a heap to me. I've read everything before, but somehow today it really hit home. And I did pray earnestly that I would have a special Sabbath. I pray that every Sabbath morning, but today my prayer was answered not only in full, but full to overflowing. And I do thank the Lord for that.
Praise God.
Praise God indeed.
You do more than we ask or think.
Praise the Lord, dear brethren, and thank the Lord for one more Sabbath. We praise Him and thank Him for blessing seen and unseen. We did have a little bit of a sad news today that my mom's sister died this afternoon, but God allowed her to see 91 years. So we praise the Lord for that. And So just thanking the Lord for a blessing seen and praying that she went to sleep in the Lord.
looking for one that's fine.
Oh, we're sorry to hear that. Shut up. Sorry to hear that. Thank you for sharing. Amen. 91 years of age. What a blessing. She reached there and she knew the Lord by the sounds of it, which is even better. Long life, good quality of life, and knowing the Lord. What could one ask for? Except on behalf of others that the same might happen. My dear mum, I should perhaps share this now. We had a family meeting yesterday, and mum's had 8 children, and she's got 8 grandchildren. Well, it was just the kids yesterday, so just the 8 of us, and that is very unusual. It never happens, not even at funerals. So it was pretty good to see. I said, shall we take some photos? My brother said, are you being sarcastic? I said, no. And, it was just the doctor was preparing us to accept that, after telling us her condition, heart condition, don't know what it is near her kidneys, the biopsy comes next Monday or further. So hopefully we'll have another family meeting. I hope so. That'll be good. Around mum too, if she can take it. She doesn't say much. And also she appears to have pneumonia. And what was the point I was trying to share with you? The doctor just said that if it were my mum, under the circumstances, if she's going down and her heart stops working, I would not resuscitate her. And so that's what we were talking about. And so it looks like everyone can understand that it would be better letting her die than bringing her back time and again, and she'll have to suffer a bit more. So thank you for keeping it in prayer. And I was just saying to Brother Bob before we started tonight that when we were in the room, my brother Ernie, he noticed there was a sign outside, and I did for the first time too. Maybe it was just because of the angle. I said, oh, there's Jesus. Someone had spray painted Jesus. And in a really crafty way, you know, the obviously graffiti artists, but they did a good job. And he said, look at that. And I said, yeah, look at that. And I said, it's the best name. I should have said, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. I'm hoping I get that opportunity. But he mentioned that, and I'm hoping my mum has a deeper religious experience despite what she's going through now. She looks always tired and that. And we're hoping that she doesn't, to respect her wish, she doesn't want to die in hospital. So we'll see what happens, and hopefully we'll get to meet her again, the whole family, and which is very unusual. And hopefully my family members will think seriously. It is a solemn thing to die, isn't it? But it's a much more solemn thing to live. Who am I living for? Who am I dying for? We'll keep your dear auntie in prayer, Sister Lynn. I mean, yourself and dear Sister Dot and others who are mourning her loss, who have known her for such a long time.
No, go ahead. Church family, I thank you for your prayers for our family. God is good. And we thank him all the time. I give greetings and hugs to everybody. Thank you.
Love and hugs from me as well. God bless you.
We'll definitely be keeping you, dear Sister Dot, and Sister Lynn, and the rest of the family in our prayers and our thoughts, as well as your precious mother, dear Brother James. Just reminding everyone, for our main church service tomorrow, we're going to have question and answer. So question and answer. Please come prepared. Write down your questions. Don't forget them, because each one is very important. And so just a reminder on that. Thank you, dear brother, for a wonderful church service. It was indeed a high Sabbath. Thank you so much. Praise God indeed. Big hugs in return.
Well, may everyone and more attend that question and answer time tomorrow, Sabbath for America, sun, when the sun is up, looking forward on your behalf. And he records them. Praise the Lord. Oh, and good news, I got to give away 24 great controversies last week. Went out for 3 days, door knocking, and that was fun. Met a number of individuals, atheists, Christians, a mother of 10. The one died. She's got a great controversy for a 16-year-old. I met a lady, Anna Kay. She's, a sister that's really interested in last day events. Hasn't been reading her Bible. She says, I'm going to get back into it. I want to understand it better, and I'm going to read the great controversy. Isn't that good when music to your ears when you hear them say that? I think she's in her 60s, 70s, possibly 80s. And a number of other people as well taking it, which is fantastic. May it be kept up. And I hope I can read more to my mum, actually, Steps to Christ, because I'd love to see her keep taking those steps and not fighting it. In fact, that reminds me, yes, Sister Joan. Sis, you mentioned a while back when Brother Bob's dad died that you said something to him, probably one of the last things you said to him. And I can't remember what that exactly, if you remember what you said to him, it was something to do with Jesus. Perhaps you could share that with us again.
That was not Dad. That was a very good friend of Sister Joan named Jake. She had asked him if he had believed that Jesus was the Son of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, he did. So that was a friend of hers, a very good friend, and not our dad.
Thank you for the correction. Appreciate it.
Yeah, with Jake, he had been through a lot of different churches and had seen the hypocrisy in them all. So he was very wary of quote religionists. But when he met Sister Joan and found out she was Christian, of course he was a bit wary, but he saw that she didn't just profess to be Christian, she lived a Christian life. And that went a long way to breaking down his prejudices against Christ. And so when he was basically on his deathbed, or soon to be on his deathbed, she asked him, Jake, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And he said, yes, I do. And that meant everything, because with all that he had been through to finally make that confession, it was a gigantic step for him.
Oh, thank you so much for that. It's trying to find words if my mom doesn't make it. One of the reasons I mentioned that. And thank you for keeping it in prayer. And but my mom can say the same and even more. Maybe we can talk a bit about it, even a lot about it. It's hard getting her by herself. There's always, because we've got so many children in the family. But I think they'd understand if you want some quiet time with them. Thank you, bro, and brethren and sisters. Well, once again, thank you, sis. Sisters and brothers are keeping these things in prayer, and we'll definitely indeed keep Sister Susan in prayer, what's happened recently as well. And you all, what a blessing. When I put the screen up, Lucy said, is that all the people that brothers and sisters that are here? She's not used to seeing so many. So that's wonderful. Hey, we're making an appearance now. Well, well, well. Hello there. Happy Sabbath. Yes. Bob's looking fresh and sweet, isn't he? He's looking all ready to go. Hey, Brother Dick. Hey, Bud Rowe. He looks like he's ready for Hawaii. I like your shirt, bro. Well, as usual, it's been an absolute privilege. I wish you the greatest of blessings as the Sabbath reaches the morning for you and you get all the sleep you need. And Brother Joel is blessed with the home church as he attends. In person, what a blessing we have for him to come here. I know it's quite early for Brother Joel, so we're extra blessed as it is late for others as well. And Lord willing, we'll meet again next Sabbath. Our dear Brother Bob is going to pick up where we left off in Prophets and Kings. I have to send where we got up to, aren't I? But there are any last things, any takeaways before we ask our dear Brother Dick to sing us away?
Tell Sister Susan that if the skin is not broken on her foot, that she can put turpentine on and it will take away the soreness, but tell her not to wrap it or it will blister. That would help her.
Thank you so much, dear sister, and I will send a text to her to that end. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear sis. Well, take care. Keep looking up. Let's keep trusting our Lord with our whole life. And the wonderful thing about being a Christian, Jesus wants us to give up everything that wrecks your life so we can have the joy of his life and have it in abundance. Keep looking up. We'll see you all soon. And God be a witness between you and me until we meet again. God bless, brethren and sisters.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.